Good evening, everybody. This is Josh Blaser from GameWisdom.com, where we examine the art and science of games. Welcome to another great edition of the Perceptive Podcast. Fortunately, James couldn't make it today, but we have two guests with us tonight, and we're going to be talking about a very interesting topic. As you know, the state of the mobile market has definitely been a feature topic on these casts and discussions, and it's always an interesting field to look at, especially for developers who are listening to this cast, or enthusiasts or first-timers interested in learning more about the state of the market. So our topic tonight is going to be focusing on the mobile industry and on some of the important information that developers should be examining and taking a look at. And to help me tonight, we have two members of the company Anodot, which specializes in providing analytics and tools for game developers, specifically mobile developers. So let's welcome them to the cast. First, Chief Data Scientist, Dr. Ira Cohen.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, Ira. And VP of Marketing, Rebecca Herson.
Hi there.
Hi, Rebecca.
Nice to be on tonight.
Not a problem. It's a pleasure to have both of you on. How are you two doing today?
Well, great. We're in Israel, so it's night here. I'm guessing it's morning in your area of the world.
Yeah. It's always interesting when we have these international casts. I've spoken to a few developers from India, Africa. I mean, I have a contact in Australia, so I've gotten used to the I've gotten used to the time differences whenever we do casts like this. So, to get started with, for people listening to the cast who may not know what Anodot is or your backgrounds, could you talk a little bit about yourselves and what your company does?
So, ladies first, Rebecca.
Sure. Well, I'm, as you mentioned, VP of Marketing at Anodot. Anodot is a startup company based in Israel, and we have offices in California and in Germany. Mm-hmm. And we are basically a real-time business intelligence company. We offer something called business incident detection, mm-hmm. which we take streaming real-time data and surface insights very rapidly mm-hmm. from it. So it's relevant for game companies, game developers, because there's basically, you know, as users are using the games or installing them, mm-hmm. There's a ton of data that's being generated, and you need a tool, you need a layer over it to understand really what's going on and to identify if there's any problems or any business opportunities mm-hmm. that are happening.
Okay.
Thank you, Rebecca. So I'm Ira Cohen. I'm the Chief Data Scientist and one of the co-founders of Anodot. Mm-hmm. As Rebecca mentioned, our specialty is in analytics and especially machine learning, automated anomaly detection using machine learning techniques. Today, we'll talk a little bit more about our company, but as Rebecca mentioned, in the mobile gaming industry and mobile development in general, this is an area that is still very virgin.
Yeah.
But it requires, if you want to really scale out and you become more than just a small app, with a lot of visitors and a lot of sites, these insights would really help you boost your income and realize opportunities that may be lost or gained.
Okay. And when did you guys found Anodot? Like, how long have you been in business?
So we started the company 2.5 years ago. I can tell you the story of how we started. Mm-hmm. I worked at Hewlett-Packard, HP software at the time, working on various machine learning and data science programs that put them into the products mm-hmm. of HP. And at the same time, my partner, David Dre, who's the CEO of the company, he worked as a CTO of a company called Getty, which is used to be called GetTaxi. It's an Uber mm-hmm. competitor. People in New York probably know it from ordering taxis. again, a mobile development company. And it started from, you know, like most ideas started from a pain. And the pain for David as a CTO was that, you know, this mobile app is deployed at millions of users, and they order taxis throughout the world every day, all the time. And as a company, they collect a lot of that information about how many orders were made from every country, from every type of user, from every device, from every OS on the device, and so on. Mm-hmm. And all that data was collected into, you know, big data repositories that everybody talk about that you need to collect. And he would come every morning and you know, look at, and he would have these regular reports showing him number of rides throughout the world, and basically the things he configured for these reports, for his daily reports. Mm-hmm. And he was very frustrated with these reports for two reasons. The first reason, you know, he would come into the office, look at these reports, and he would notice that, you know, there may be all sorts of drops in number of rides in Moscow or New York or Tel Aviv or London. And he would discover them, you know, 24 hours after they happened. Mm-hmm. And that was very frustrating. And then it would take another 24 hours to start diving into all the mountains of data they had to actually figure out what was there. Mm-hmm. Why did it happen? And then they would discover all sorts of things, some A-B testing. So the A test was bad and it was and there was a bad deployment that prevented some people from ordering taxis, or the API to some other provider, a telco provider for SMS was broken. Mm-hmm. All sorts of things like that. And they would discover them very late, and would take them too long to fix. And in the meantime, you know, it's lost revenue, right?
Yes.
People are standing with the app. Who has patience? If you can't order a taxi with this app, you're going to install the other app. You're not going to even wait for a second. We know that. So that was one of the frustration. The other frustration was that, you know, he only detected the things that were defined in the reports that he made. Mm-hmm. While there were a lot of issues that, you know, fell under the radar of those reports, because he was one person looking at one report, and, you know, you can't hire an army of people looking at dashboards or reports. And you know, these type of issues would take, you know, a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks to discover. And mostly either they became bigger or by accident. Somebody all of a sudden looked at some data and all of a sudden saw that something strange was happening there. Mm-hmm. And so we met and we started talking about that problem and how it can be solved. And me as a machine learning guy, you know, I love data and I always look for ways to use machine learning to solve real world problems. And that's how we started Anadot.
All right. Now, with Anadot, do you create software for other industries, or do you specifically cater towards mobile gaming and mobile technology right now?
So this was a very this was a decision that we made early on to actually build a platform rather than a tool that is only for one industry. Okay. And it's not an easy decision to make as a founder and as a startup, because you always wonder, should I focus on one segment and bring a solution that's really tailor-made in terms of, especially in terms of the UI and the UX of it, to one industry, or do we try to go wider? Yeah. And we made the decision to go wider for two reasons. One was we saw the need in every industry for this type of solution. The problem of mountains of data being hidden in a dark room, and BI tools and analytics tools and even some machine learning tools giving you a small flashlight and that's it, and you have to kind of go through that room and sift by yourself. It's very common for other industries. Mm-hmm. And also, we started collecting data from a few different companies that did different things, and we saw that the techniques that we were developing were good for all of them.
Yeah.
And we figured, okay, if it's good for a lot, there is no, and the problem is the same problem, there's no reason to focus only in one.
Okay. Now, one thing that I wanted to touch on for the people listening to this cast who may not have too much understanding on the analytics or the data side of things. You mentioned at the start that Anadot is specializing in the analytics and in anomaly detection For people listening to the cast who may not know what that phrase is, could you go into a little bit more detail about what anomaly detection is?
Sure. So anomaly is anything that is strange, that behaves other than the normal pattern. Mm-hmm. So what is anomaly detection in the area, at least that we're dealing with on time series data, which means things that you measure over time, like number daily active users on your mobile app or the conversion of ads in your mobile app, and you measure it over time. Mm-hmm. So what is anomaly detection there? It's basically applying machine learning techniques that learn what is the normal pattern of that data. Mm-hmm. And for example, oftentimes if you look at something over time, you would see you would have all sorts of seasonal patterns. So in the middle of the day, there may be higher usage of your app, and then at night, smaller. Mm-hmm. Or some other apps, game apps, often it's the other way around. At night, it's higher, or evening is higher, and daytime is lower. It really depends on the type of app you are. Mm-hmm. So the algorithms learn what is normal for all of your data, and then highlight whenever something becomes abnormal, looks differently than it should. Mm-hmm. And for doing that, you basically apply various machine learning techniques that automatically, without any human input, figure out what is normal. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be normal?
Yeah. And with your software, with your analytics, is this something that has set variables that it's looking for, or does it allow the user or the developer to, I guess, choose what bits of analytic data that they want to focus on or what they want to pay attention to with their game or app?
Right. So basically, if you're developing a mobile app, mm-hmm. you choose what data you want to send to us. Mm-hmm. So it could be any data, and it could be any amount of data. We are very highly scaled out architecture, and really what you all you have to say is all you have to choose what are you measuring from your code or from your mobile other measurement tools that measure how many users and what they did on your mobile app, and we have recommendations of what other mobile developers do. But you can choose what you want. Now, it could be a huge amount. It could be hundreds of thousands of these time series over time. Mm-hmm. For example, if you're looking at the new installs of your app, then you can measure it for every platform. And then you can measure it for every platform in every country or every state if you're just in the US. Mm-hmm. So that leads to a lot of different time series that you're measuring. Mm-hmm. Now, when you send them into Anodot, the platform that we build actually learns. You don't have to say to the platform only find anomalies in these or and not in the others. You basically anything that you send into our platform, any data that you send, it learns the normal behavior of all of it and then highlights all anomalies. Mm-hmm. And now you can choose what anomalies you want to pay more attention to and what anomalies you don't need to pay attention to, or you don't have the bandwidth to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for example, if I'm a mobile developer and I'm deployed in my app is deployed in two countries, in the US and in Zimbabwe, mm-hmm. and maybe anomalies in Zimbabwe are not interesting to me. If the number of installs there spikes from 10 to 100, I don't care, because in the US it's when I do care, the spike is from 100,000 to 200,000. Mm-hmm. So our platform gives you the ability to, based on your context, decide which anomalies to focus your attention on or not, but we find all anomalies mm-hmm. for all of the data.
All right. So I guess this next question then is going to be more, I guess, about the general scape of the mobile market. Now, as you say, Ray, you found the Anodot about 2 years ago, and as anyone in the game industry knows, this is an industry that moves very fast, even within months, much less a few years. We've seen rapid advancement and changes in many aspects of it. My question for you, and Rebecca, if you have any insight, definitely feel free to add here, is from when you start Anodot to where we're at now, have you noticed any big changes or any, I guess as we could say, anomalies with how the mobile market has really developed or has restructured itself over the last 2 years?
So I'll start by saying I'm not an expert in the mobile development market per se. Being, you know, an analytics company, we focus a lot on the kind of data that the mobile market collects, rather than how it develops the apps themselves. Okay. Now, in terms of that data, what we've seen, and Rebecca, if you have anything to add to that as well, you can. What we've seen in terms of the data that's collected, if it started from, you know, counting daily active users and new installs, we've seen more and more data around ad revenue that was smaller than before. We see more and more, in the beginning, it was a lot about problems like crashes and performance of the app. And now we see a lot of data around, like I said, ad revenue, cross promotions.
Yeah.
Exactly. Cross promotion seems to be very, very big between different apps. And we start seeing companies, how do we know this? We don't develop apps ourselves, but we see them sending metrics, these time series that count how many cross promotions did I do from which game. So counting the affiliation of where did these promotions come from, and do they, and you know, if I used to get a lot of promotions from one game to another game and now it drops, let me check why, because maybe my cross promotion is broken. So that we see a lot more of, and it becomes more important, because if before it was a few cross promotions, and I guess they didn't have to send the data to us because they could handle it, now they're cross promoting from lots of different apps to lots of other different apps, and now keeping track of all of that becomes impossible manually. So you need to have the anomaly detection tell you when, you know, an app that used to do a lot of promotions to you is now doing less. It dropped somewhat, maybe it dropped somewhat in a certain country, or dropped for a certain version for a certain device, because maybe you released a version or they released a version that is breaking that promotion. So that, from the analytics perspective, we see that becoming more and more pronounced. Rebecca?
Yeah, also, you know, mixing of various different platforms, like, you know, you may be a mobile app developer, but you may be also driving traffic from your mobile app to your YouTube channel, for example. So, you know, looking at various different types of metrics from different places, different platforms, and seeing how they mesh together.
Yeah, the cross promotion one, that definitely sounds interesting. What I'm thinking is that developers are as we've seen with the general scape of the game industry today, discoverability is definitely a major factor for just about any developer, be it mobile, indie, or even the AAA markets. And it sounds like with them being more interested in getting their apps cross-promote with other apps, they're trying to, again, raise their own discoverability, because it is becoming a lot harder for someone brand new just come on the scene and get their app in front of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, because everyone is trying to do the same thing these days.
Right, right. And yeah, the metrics show it. And I think that the issue is that that you face if you are becoming bigger, if you're doing a lot of cross promotions with a lot of different other apps, keeping track of it in a sensible way. I mean, if you're very small and the traffic is small, then you don't need, you can do it manually. You can look at your data every day and figure it out yourself from you know, a simple report. But once you become a little bit bigger and you expand, that's where, you know, not having an analytics tool makes it very, very hard.
Yeah.
I think another area where people have become very sophisticated is in their A-B testing. And once you're doing a lot of A-B testing, you also need a way of tracking it and figuring out what's going on. So that's where an analytics solution can come into play as well.
And with the idea of doing the, I'm sorry, not with cross promotion, but with dealing with multiple platforms, I know for myself, I've been experimenting more of that with Game Wisdom, that it's not just about the site these days, it's about the YouTube channel, it's about social media, mm-hmm. it's about, instead of just having one spot that people can find you in, it's about building yourself up as a brand, so that if someone finds me on Twitch, they'll get the information for YouTube. If someone finds me on YouTube, they'll get the information for Twitter, and everything is just trying to essentially be greater than the sum of its parts.
Right. Yeah, these cross promotion metrics also pop up a lot. Mm-hmm. Different channels that basically you're not just on the mobile app. Mm-hmm. You're on internally. You're getting traffic from all sorts of sources. And yeah, that's something we see as well mm-hmm. with the developers. Mm-hmm. And I think 2.5 years ago, it was, like I said, mostly about what's happening inside the app. Mm-hmm. And when it's crashing, is it slow? Mm-hmm. How is the usability? Things that are more technical in yeah. nature. Now it seems to have a lot more data around the whole ecosystem mm-hmm. and how you're developing it as a business.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that we've seen developers, even in the independent space on the PC, tend to struggle with viewing things from a business perspective. And that is a topic that we have talked about on Game Wisdom and on these casts more times than I can count at this point regarding just the challenge it is to be the businessman and be the artist at the same time. You have to create an innovative game, but at the same time, you also have to see how this is going to do from a business perspective. And right. developers tend to struggle with one or the other. And I think from what you were describing, or with developers, at least on the mobile side, being more focused on the ecosystem and the business, it sounds like they're also wising up to the fact that you can't just release an app or a game without any preparation, just putting out there expecting, you know, 5 million views and downloads in 24 hours. That's not going to happen. You need to right. come with a plan and come with a good marketing strategy. And again, as you're saying with Anadot, get the information, the analytics that you need to help grow your business.
Right. And you know, it's true. I'm a machine learning guy, and I'm not a business guy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, even for us, it's true, mm-hmm. right? As an analytics platform. And I guess as this market is maturing, it's realizing it has to behave just like any other startup. Mm-hmm. You have to get your business in order. I mean, we can build the greatest platform for anomaly detection in the world if we didn't have Rebecca for doing marketing and we didn't have salespeople for selling, mm-hmm. then, you know, it would sit on the shelf and nobody would notice.
Yeah. And I know the same thing here with Game Wisdom. It doesn't help if I write great stuff if no one knows who I am or where or what the site is. And I mean, this year alone, like the last 6 months has been a huge expansion in terms of cross-posting my content, Twitter, social media alike. And it has definitely helped. And as you just said here, it doesn't matter how great your product is if literally no one knows who you are or where you're even from.
Exactly.
Now, one question that I wanted to touch on, as we just talked about in terms of the important analytics today with the cross-promotion and with the multiple platforms, for developers listening to this cast, be it indie, mobile, or whatever, are there any other important metrics that you're seeing developers focus on with the mobile space, or even those that in both of your opinions that developers should be looking at when they're trying to pull analytic data for their specific games or apps?
Rebecca, do you want to start?
Sure. I think the basic ones are clear, like definitely measuring installs. Mm-hmm. Crashes is very important. Crashes based per platform, mm-hmm. Also in different locations, that kind of thing. You know, they can get more sophisticated measuring specific events within the game, like how, or engagement within the game. I mean, a rise in engagement or length, the amount of time that you actually play the game, tends to correlate pretty closely with increases in revenue. So you want to track that very closely as well.
So some other things that we've seen, which are interesting, we've seen companies actually, developers actually measuring the retention rates of their new installs. Mm-hmm. So you measure how many new installs there are, and then you measure how many of those stayed, opened the game at least for the first day. Mm-hmm. And then opened it a few times for the next 7 days, and then for the next 30 days. And those really help them understand whether they're retaining the users that are downloading mm-hmm. or not. So they're measuring as metrics. And, you know, these have normal patterns as well. The retention have normal patterns as well. Mm-hmm. And it's not, obviously not 100%. And it could even fluctuate from the weekdays to the weekends. Mm-hmm. But you want to know whether, you know, if during the weekend you see your retention dropping from the rate that it was in the previous weekends, mm-hmm. Then you want to know about it.
Yeah.
Because that might be that you broke something.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's increasing, you might not want to know about it as well, because then you can look at the events of which cross promotions you did mm-hmm. and realize, oh, this other game that I promoted, cross promoted from, is really bringing me loyal users. So let me do more of that.
Mm-hmm. And retention rate is definitely a very important point in just about any aspect of the game industry, especially with how developers, not just in the mobile space, are trying to create their games around the long term. It's not just about making a game that does well for a month. It's about making a game right. that consistently does well, that could last 6 months to a year, or in some cases, we've seen even longer than a year with some of the more popular free-to-play games, whether it's in the indie space, the AAA, or in the mobile market.
Right. Yeah, I'm addicted to some of those.
I know we can easily, I think any one of our guests, including myself, we each have our own little personal horror story of the game that has us hooked at the moment.
Right. Yeah, I try to delete them, and then they come back, mm-hmm. and then I get hooked again.
Yeah, I've just had to cut myself off cold turkey and then just pretend they don't exist. I don't read any news about the game. I just pretend I never played it.
Yes.
But for you, at least it's a professional, you could consider it an investment in your professional growth.
That's what I tell the people.
It's not.
I think even they don't buy anymore. I say, oh, I'm just doing this for research. You know, this is my job. No, they're like, no. I've had a few friends say, Josh, why are you still playing that game? Go do something else.
I know the feeling.
Yes. All right. We are approaching 30 minutes. I know both of you are very busy today, and of course we have the time difference. So I think we will wrap things up in the next few minutes. Before we move to, I guess, our goodbyes, our final part of the cast, are there any topics regarding either anomaly detection, analytics data, or even just what Anodot does that either of you would like to bring up or talk about?
So basically, why is it important? I think mm-hmm. one of the, you know, I tried to illustrate with some examples mm-hmm. Why it's important to actually do anomaly detection. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're a mobile app developer and now you're developing a game and you're just starting out, you probably don't need a very fancy tool for learning mm-hmm. What's happening. But as you start growing, this actually very quickly becomes an issue. And what is machine learning in general good for? And anomaly detection in our case. So in general, machine learning, when you look at why do people need it? It's not just something sexy that is cool and, you know, that's the hype going around right now. Mm-hmm. It's really when you look at a problem and you say, does machine learning give me something that is faster than what I can do mm-hmm. with myself, or at much larger scale, or at higher accuracy, or maybe all three of them mm-hmm. combined? So in our case, when we look at anomaly detection and how companies use us and why, where is their return of investment, it's really around the speed and the scale mostly. So people with their eyes can find anomalies, but in a lot of different data, because we're built for finding things that are strange. This is how our vision is built for. That's what it's built for. Mm-hmm. We find normal, and then we find anything that's strange. If you look at an image, you'll find it pretty quickly. But well, now that I have to look at, let's say if I took the image analogy, if I had to look at a million images, mm-hmm. it would take me, you know, a gazillion amount of time to go through it. So I won't do it. Or I'll put, you know, or it's a scale problem where I have to hire a lot of people to do it for me. Now, the same thing for metrics. If you start with just 10 metrics, yeah, you can look at them yourself and, you know, glance at them every few hours. But once you start growing and you start doing a lot more users in business, it starts becoming something that is unfeasible. Mm-hmm. You either have to invest a lot of time in it, or you'll miss stuff, or you'll waste a lot of money hiring people to do it for you. Mm-hmm. So this is where the anomalies shine. When you look at a lot of the business related data, business related metrics in mobile apps, you know, there are a lot of them, and we talked about a lot of them for ads and cross referencing between apps and users and retention and all these great things that you have to measure if you want to be successful. Mm-hmm. And when you apply something like Anadot, an anomaly detection system that highlights what's important to you, you basically get the speed of finding everything fast and at large scale. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's why we build a company. That's why companies actually use us today. And we have lots of different customers using us, from Microsoft to smaller ones like Outfit 7, which is a mobile game developer company, mm-hmm. and other types. And ad exchanges like Rubicon Project, mobile apps like Credit Karma, which is, you know, a different, not a game, mm-hmm. but it's a mobile app. So all of those have the same type of use cases, same type of needs. And that's why we build Anadot.
Okay. Now, one question that I just want to ask you, just to clarify for the people listening, is Anadot right now specifically for mobile apps and games, or is it available for like independent, like PC games or stuff that's not in the mobile space at the moment?
Rebecca?
Anadot can be used, as Ira pointed out, it's basically a platform, mm-hmm. so it can be used by any type of solution that's generating time series data. So we've got customers that are, you know, in the financial technology space and advertising technology space, online, various types of online, as well as mobile apps. Mm-hmm. That said, I mean, as Ira pointed out, in order for it to make sense to use a solution like Anadot, you'd have to be at a certain mm-hmm. level of scale where it doesn't make sense for you to be tracking these manually. Mm-hmm. So, but we also do have various business connectors to backend systems that many companies are using, such as Google Analytics, for example. Mm-hmm. So, you know, finding the anomalies in your Google Analytics is often very difficult to do when you're just looking at your analytics. Believe me, as a marketer, I spend a lot of my time looking at my Google Analytics. Mm-hmm. But by adding a layer on top, like Anadot, you can, surface or float out the various things that are most important for you to look at. So that could make sense actually for like a PC, if it's a web-based, mm-hmm. a web-based game, that kind of thing.
Right. Right.
All right. I think with that, I think we've definitely covered a lot for today. I'm just about out of questions for both of you. I'm trying to think if there's any other major topics I want to touch on before we say goodbye. I guess while I'm quickly trying to think of that, do either of you have any final thoughts or any you would like to, I guess, bring up now before we end things?
So I guess we've said it most of it all, and you know, we'd be happy to hear from people that hear this podcast what they thought about it and what their experience has been, and whether the, you know, people have used any type of open source anomaly detection techniques, or you know, would like to know more about the techniques. You know, shoot me an email and I'll send them, you know, all the technical information.
All right, Rebecca, do you have anything to add?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it. This has been very enjoyable, and thank you for having us today.
No problem.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I think that is going to do it then. Before we say goodbye, I just want to say it was great having you both on tonight, and definitely wish you good luck with Anodot in the future. As you two are no doubt aware, the game industry is always one of those markets that seems to never be in a constant state. It's always in flux with new trends, new data, and of course with the shifting scape of the mobile market as we've seen in the last 2 years. So hopefully everything will go well for you, and I wish you guys the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Not a problem. So I think with that, we are going to wrap things up. For those of you listening who like more information on Anodot and the software and the analytics, there will be links to everything in the podcast notes below. As always, if you would like to support Game Wisdom, we have multiple options available. If you'd like to be a future podcast guest or write a guest piece for the site, you can find all the information and links under Submissions Wanted on the front page. Be sure to subscribe on Twitch and Twitter under GW Bicer for the latest updates, as well as when I do my streaming. Of course, check out the Game Wisdom YouTube channel, which is growing pretty rapidly now, I would say. You'll find daily videos looking at games, discussions on game design and industry topics, and more. And last but not least, be sure to check out the Patreon campaign. You can find me on there under Game Wisdom or by clicking the banner on the front. Donations will be greatly appreciated. They will allow me to keep doing what I'm doing, and we can hit some goals. It'll mean more great content for everyone. So again, Ira, Rebecca, it was great having you on tonight, and maybe we can do this again at some later point and talk more about what's been going on with the mobile landscape.
Great.
Great, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. So once again, thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of the Perceptive Podcast. Have a great rest of the week, and we will talk to you again next time. Take care.